superchargers, headlights, and more. With over 122 million parts, eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Stay on your A-game with all the parts you need at the prices you want. It's easy to bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply. See ebaymotors.com.
Now your ideas don't have to wait. Now they have everything they need to come to life. Dell Technologies and Intel are creating technology that loves ideas, loves expanding your business, evolving your passions. We push what technology can do, so great ideas can happen right now. Find out how to bring your ideas to life at Dell.com. Welcome to now. This podcast is brought to you by Microsoft Teams. When there's more ways to be together, there are more ways to be a team.
You know, I like coming up with nicknames around here.
This is the Rich Eisen Show.
It's Chunk.
DK Metcalf is the human chunk play.
Live from the Rich Eisen Show studio in Los Angeles.
Chunk.
Plus, Rich, I know you've only seen Goonies one time, but like Chunk is a little fat kid.
I just saw the most amazing thing of my entire life.
Touchdown, DK Metcalf.
Earlier on the show, Pro Football Hall of Famer Tony Dungy. Coming up, co-host of Good Morning Football, Kyle Brandt. Plus, actor Bryan Cranston. And now,
it's Chunk.
It's Rich Eisen.
All right, hour number two of the Rich Eisen Show on the air. And it is game on. It is game on. We were waiting for this on Thanksgiving night, and then it was rescheduled to a Sunday, and they rescheduled to a Monday, and then rescheduled to Tuesday, and then rescheduled to a Wednesday. And so we're on. The point of care tests came back negative for the Ravens. Marquise Pouncey has been put on the COVID-19 list for the Steelers, and that's how they're going to work today. My gosh. It's on, and it's the hump of the hump day, 3:30 p.m. Eastern start on NBC. Honestly, if you couldn't come up with a time and date more polar opposite than Sunday night football than Wednesday afternoon on NBC. And Chris Collinsworth is all fired up. I'm assuming he's going to leave his hotel room for this game. After photographing the bleak scene on Tuesday, day five, as he said, of Ravens Steelers.
That's Market Square in Pittsburgh.
Right there you go, right there. And so that's his view. He's going to actually go right down the street. It's not far.
Yeah.
The confluence not far from where he is right there.
He could walk.
Heinz Field. Well, it's probably going to be cold.
But he's a tough
guy. He is very walkable. And that, by the way, the Roberto Clemente Bridge that you can walk across right by the beautiful baseball stadium. You hang a left and you're at Heinz Field right down the street.
Yes,
it is a beautiful city, man.
Pittsburgh is awesome.
Walkable, which is why I didn't get my driver's license, guys.
Okay, very good. Bring it all full circle.
It's 35 in Pittsburgh right now.
Yeah, they'll send a car for him.
Well, I would hope.
They'll send a car for Chris.
You know when I asked Billy Gardell about that fish sandwiches?
Yes.
It's right in that picture, too. Chris could be eating fish and permanis.
But he called them sandwiches, though.
Sandwiches, yeah, you know. It's a Berg thing.
Okay.
It feels like 25, though. 16-mile-an-hour winds at the moment.
I'll tell you what, man. Because the Steelers are one of the teams in the NFL that does not – I mean, every team controls its stadium and its field on game day. Then when it's time for the playoffs, the NFL takes things over. The Steelers are one of the teams that – I think there's only a couple teams that do not want anybody's set on the field. They want the field empty. So anytime we did Thursday night football games from Pittsburgh, they would not let us on the field with our set. We had to be on the, what would you call it? It's not an atrium. The concourse?
Yeah.
On the open end of the stadium. Oh my God.
Jeez, and the wind probably.
Yeah. Yeah.
Whipping through there.
Yes, right off the confluence.
Gosh.
It is as cold as I've ever, and I've done, you know, games at Soldier Field and.
Yeah.
Oh my gosh. And that's why you don't, I mean, that's why kicking there is a nightmare. Well, the open
that,
end of the
that
field.
End like, of the stadium.
Yeah, it's like, it's like anytime you've ever been in a cab and the driver leaves the window open and it's 10 degrees outside, you're like, hey, would you mind rolling that damn thing up? Like, I already sound like, can we close the stadium? Well, it's not just about me. Although I just shared a great story about from my college days.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, about ordering too much pizza from the same pizza place and getting free bag of chips. And
like I said, you should look at that as an honor, man. Yeah. Like you spent so much money, they got to throw free stuff to you.
As a 51-year-old, I look back not too proud.
Speaking of your college days, Rich, did you happen to catch the college football playoff show last night?
I did, Chris.
Because your college, not in the top rankings.
I'm aware of that, Chris.
Happened to get a lot of run during the program by, you know, Kirk Herbstreit.
Yeah, he said a hell of a thing last night.
He did, about Michigan possibly waving the white flag to keep Ohio State out of the eligibility for the college football playoff.
And the white flag that Michigan would apparently be waving in this is using COVID as a shield.
To get out of playing Ohio State next
week. And waving the white flag, which is a hell of a thing to say on television.
Yeah. He later apologized, posted a video on Twitter saying, you know, that's not really what he meant. But
yeah. And I'll you know.
I mean, I know it hasn't been a great year.
I've got, as you know,
for Michigan.
I'll put my helmet here because, you know, I've got my helmet here. I wear my colors on my sleeve.
Right,
which you know, makes me, as a professional, I'm aware that whenever I talk about Ohio State, you know, that people might think that I'm not shooting them straight because I have a sincere rooting interest in this rivalry. Mm-hmm. But I'm, you know, somebody who's opinionating here and giving you thoughts here and then appearing on NFL Network and I'll talk about Michael Thomas being great and Zeke being worthy of his contract. And, you know, one of the reasons why the Saints defense is balling out is they basically have drafted Ohio State's secondary. And, you know, the Boses are a problem for anybody. I can sit, and you can sit at home and sit here and go, well, he doesn't really believe that. I do. But that's fine. You know, I'm in this setting. I'm not calling the game. I'm not calling the game. And, you know, not like Kirk needs my advice. You know, his Emmys are stuck in his ears. You know, he might not be able to hear it. So, but I'm a Michigan fan sitting at home watching Michigan, Minnesota in week one. I wouldn't, if I'm Kirk, want at all to think, put in the head of a Michigan fan watching the game that he's not shooting anybody straight or talking up Minnesota, because what he said last night prior to his apology, what he said last night saying that Harbaugh is afraid of getting his ass kicked again by Ohio State and thus would use COVID as a shield for Michigan and him to not get their asses beat and turn down the competition by whatever, again, you're implying. And I know that he also said in his apology that there has been instances in college football this year that teams have said, we don't want to play or we can't play. And the team that's about to come in is about to beat them up. And, you know, Dabo Swinney has been very vocal about Florida State on that very subject.
Right.
And I think he's said that, I've seen other instances of it, and it's been a problem for me, and it doesn't sit well for me. But to sit here and say that that's what Michigan is going to do or thinking about doing, because if they don't play Ohio State, Ohio State doesn't have enough games on its docket to qualify for the championship of its own conference and thus will not be considered for the championship writ large, and that by turning down the competition and using COVID as a shield is Michigan's way of actually beating Ohio State, implying all of that along with what that would mean? Does that mean that we're creating tests? We're finding like Trump's doctor to write a note? Like, what are we doing? That's straight off of like some sort of tinfoil hat Ohio State fan blog site. And he's going to call games from it? Like, you bet he sent out a video saying, my bad, shouldn't have done it. So, you know, it's tough for the whole crew. It's going to be calling a Michigan game. I'm going to sit here and go, this is the guy who thought Michigan was waving the white flag in a pandemic. That's damaging. It's a hell of a thing to say. You know, Michigan was asked for a comment. They said, we're not commenting.
Yeah, why would they? What good would it be for Jim Harbaugh to go out?
I mean, so you asked me what I thought. That's what I thought.
I was curious.
And Reese pushed back, man. Curious. Reese pushed back. Reese is like, hold on a second. What does that mean?
Yeah, because you're using a term, wave the white flag.
Yeah.
You know, that's pretty.
All of it.
That's
no. Again, no wonder Kirk thought better of it and wanted to send out a video. And
I mean, his apology seemed pretty legit and heartfelt, you know, so I think he realized what he said.
The filter didn't catch that out of the mouth on live television.
Exactly.
844-204-RICH, number to dial. Let's take some phone calls here before we get to Kyle Brandt on our show. Ben in Mississippi, you're here on the Rich Eisen Show. What's up, Ben?
So, Rich, I got two things for you.
Okay. What do you have?
Number one, yeah. I want to add on to the conversation you all have had the last few days about whether it's better to be blown out or a close game in the loss.
Okay.
I completely understand your point of view.
Okay.
But if I knew that I'm going to lose, I'd rather it be by 41 than it be by one, because for this simple reason. If I'm going to lose and it's going to be a close game, I'm going to be going through a mental fatigue of wondering what I could have done better or what I could have changed to try to overturn that circumstance. But if I lose by 41, I just, you know, I woke up on the wrong side of the bed and I put my socks on wrong. Let's try again. Let's do something different. That's my point of view.
Okay.
So I'm with Chris and TJ on that. But here's what I call to really ask you about. So John Harbaugh, during his Super Bowl year, fired offensive coordinator Cam Cameron. I appreciate everything you did, Cam, but the offense is not going in the right direction. We need to make a change. Could you see a scenario, because the Ravens have an extreme difficulty of playing from behind, and that if they make the playoffs, that could be a problem if they can't get the lead early. So could you see a scenario where John Harbaugh makes the same decision and says, Greg, I appreciate everything you've done, but we can't come from behind to win football games? Could you see a scenario where John Harbaugh says, hey, we need to do something different?
You know what? I don't, man, because we're in a pandemic. It's just a different year, to be honest with you. And it's an interesting – thanks for the call, Ben. Thanks for hanging on to you know, for an hour plus to deliver the thought-provoking questions. You know, it's interesting that you forgot the Ravens the year that they won it all. They did bounce their offensive coordinator in the middle of everything. And, you know, it paid off. There's not enough practice time. There's not enough normal time. Everything's on Zoom these days. I mean, you're just not going to change the horses midstream. I know three teams have done it.
Right, and we kind of thought that might be a blanket for some of these teams.
I know it, but they're out. They're out, though. They're out.
Yeah.
And they've made the changes for various reasons, PR or getting a head start on the fresh start that they know that they're getting.
Sure.
I mean, this team's still in it. I mean, I would be stunned if they make a move like that.
Yeah, they could easily
Stunned.
I mean, say they lose tonight, but they could easily win the last five games.
So,
you know, finish 11-5.
It's that they got to pull it together. Just like the Bucks, they got to pull it together. At some point, you're going to have to actually put points on the board when you need to. You know, when you're struggling and you're not on the same page, or you're not being efficient, or you're being too predictable, or whatever it is. I know that it's kind of two different things going on with Tampa and with Baltimore, but at some point you do have to rubber meet road here. and push pedal to metal and get to where you need to go.
Well, it's funny. Tampa and Baltimore are kind of the opposites offensively when it comes to philosophy. You know,
yes.
Baltimore just wants to run it, and they don't even look downfield. They have this kid, Hollywood Brown, is as fast can be, and they don't even look at him.
Well, I guess then yes, the styles are different. I'm just saying similar situation in terms of offenses suddenly dried up or not being as efficient as we've seen it can be.
Right.
Because clearly you can't get any more different than Tom Brady and Lamar Jackson in terms of style, in terms of age, in terms of everything.
No.
Experience. And then, you know, again, we had this conversation yesterday, and we'll keep doing it because I think, did we ever post, did we post that 10-minute long conversation we had yesterday about?
Oh, you know what?
Brought back up again about, so. Would you rather be blown out or would you rather lose in gut-wrenching fashion under the ridiculous construct of if you knew going in you were going to lose?
I actually looked back up.
I mean,
Kathy brought that up. I looked up the question. It was, would you rather... It was lose like the Titans. I believe they got blown out.
Right.
Or lose like the Saints, like have your heart ripped out.
And I said I would rather have my heart ripped out. The whole honestly, I think it's a much more viable question than if you knew the outcome. I mean, nobody ever knows the outcome. We watch sports because the sports is DVR proof because of all of that. Right now, Ravens are bringing a ravaged team to Pittsburgh today. But it could be the first case of any given Wednesday, right?
Could be.
That's why. So I would rather get my heart ripped out than blown out. Better to have loved and lost than never to have loved at all. But post that conversation from yesterday because I think it's been resonating with people. Jeff in Detroit, one of our favorites back here on the show. How are you doing, Jeff? You there, Jeffrey? Let's put him back on hold. We will give him the courtesy. He's a guy who calls in as much as he does, for sure. Let's go to Jason in Miami. How you been, Jason?
Rich, what's going on? Doing great.
Excellent.
Doing well.
How you been?
I've been good. I listened to the show today. I listened to the Tony Dungy. Man, I got it. I just love Tony Dungy. Which that brings me to a question you guys might want to throw around. Who would be a coach that you would love to play for? Tony Dungy, you know, he's not in the league at the moment, but I have to go with Pete Carroll, maybe McVay, Bill Belichick. I know he'd be getting on you, but he would probably get the best out of you also.
How about Tomlin, right? How about Mike Tomlin?
Oh, Mike Tomlin. I love Mike Tomlin. Mike Tomlin gives it to you straight, no BS, straight up. You know, I love Mike Tomlin. That's a good one also. And then going off the board into basketball, I like Greg Popovich. Coach Pop, I would like to play for Coach Pop also. But listen, you know, you guys were talking about DK Metcalf and this boulder-sized chip he's got on his shoulder. And, you know, everybody, these guys with chips, Jordan got a chip, you know, inventing things. I think everybody, you can't be in the NFL without a chip. I mean, does Mitchell Trubisky have a chip because he was number two and not number one? Does Mahomes and Watson have a chip because they weren't where, you know, Trubisky was drafted?
Sure.
You know, I just think a lot of that chip stuff is kind of overblown, and you know, you need to have that in order to play on this high level.
I hear you, Jason. You know what I mean? You know, Maurice Jones-Drew wore number 32 because he was a second round draft choice, and that's the number of teams that did not make him a first round draft choice. So, you know, I understand that, but We all have chips. I have one. I'm sure you do in your endeavor and your practice. But I think that some people are larger, have chips that are larger, and I think that there are some that require it, that for whom it is entirely necessary, or it just consumes them. And sometimes that could eat you up. That can lead to all sorts of problems. Or in the case of DK Metcalf, it works. And thanks for the call. And just one more time. One more time. Note to everybody playing the Seattle Seahawks. I would literally do this. I know I've said it as facetiously. I literally would do this. Let me get this right. Put on my glasses here. I just moved my Best Dad Ever sign into a much more televisable spot. I should just keep it
here. Please, come on.
If I were, let's say, Joe Judge is up first, then it's Gase. Oh, particularly Gase. I would go to Greg Williams and say, you are not allowed on the field. You are not allowed on the field.
Don't look at him.
Because Jamal Adams is on that field too that day. Like, literally, you coach in the box.
Coach in the box.
Yeah, we're removing your, we are removing your credentials.
Go
we
up
are,
there.
We are removing your credentials for the game.
He's lost all his field privileges.
You have lost, like, literally, it is like Marcellus yeah. in Pulp Fiction. Your privileges have been revoked. You may not approach the field. You will not allow, you're not allowed on the field. Sorry, Greg. One of my last remaining Axes coaches is going to make sure you don't talk to Jamal or DK. You may not. And if Rivera, well, Del Rio is his DC. He's smart enough. He, you know what? I mean, Schwartz is
get to
veteran
week 16,
too.
Though,
okay.
Rich.
See, I'm seriously, man. I'm.
But he was
I'm
giving McVay, him a compliment.
I'm McVay, and I'm.
What are you gonna do with Jalen?
Shanahan. I tell all coaches, stay away from 14. Don't. I mean, we respect him, and we will show him our respect with our scheme and our passion to beat him. Okay.
That's his what we'll arms do. Are bigger
but
than our
you,
legs.
But you may not. We honestly, I know it sounds like I'm joking. I am not. If I was a coach in the NFL, I would tell every assistant, do not approach DK Metcalf. Do not taunt Happy Funball. Maybe that's his new nickname, Happy Funball. Because it looks it,
it Happy Funball.
No, seriously, there's a lot of warning labels so on how to approach DK Metcalf.
So what's McVay do in 16? Are you going to stop Jalen from going over and talking trash?
No,
you
know that's no. That's a different story. That's a different story. Because just the heat of the competition and, if you will, dog v. dog, that's fine.
Just but no coaches.
Coach, yeah. if he's gonna take stuff like that, maybe the next thing will be what we saw from The Last Dance. Who was that guy from Washington? From who Jordan made up the whole thing, right?
Yeah,
that the guy lit up the Bulls, right? Who was the guy who lit up the Bulls, and then they went on the home and home on back to back nights, and then Jordan torched that team and the kid,
LeBradford Smith,
and it was made up the whole time.
Yeah,
kid never said a word to Jordan. Like, that's next for DK Metcalf. Do not even approach. Don't do it.
You're like, I don't care if it's his birthday. Don't go wish him happy birthday.
Nothing.
Don't say nothing.
Don't say nothing.
Nothing.
It's like, again, like Goodfellas. Don't buy nothing. Don't do nothing. Okay? We are pulling off the Lufthansa heist, and what we are making you. Sure
no
nobody's getting
Cadillacs.
Pinched. Nobody's getting
no
pinched.
Fur coats.
And I'm not getting pinched. So you do not approach DK Metcalf
under any circumstances
at all,
and I took that personally.
Period. End of story. And especially for the Jets, like Adam Gase should right now. I know we're supposed to take it one game at a time. 2 weeks in advance, you tell Greg Williams find out a different routine pregame because you're in the booth. You may not even you were not letting you set foot on the field with Jamal Adams out there and DK Metcalf. 844-204 Rich number to dial. Kyle Brandt, when we come back, always a fun conversation with the Good Morning Football co-host and host of 10 Questions with Kyle Brandt. The latest episode from Ringer and Spotify drops today. Now there are more ways to be a team with Microsoft Teams. With Together Mode, you can bring everyone together in one space in the same virtual room. You can bring the power of true collaboration to your projects with Whiteboard, drawing, sharing, and building ideas in real time, all on the same page. And with large gallery view, you can see more of your team all at once with up to 49 people on screen, all at the same time. You can even raise your hand virtually so everyone can be seen and heard. When there are more ways to be together, there are more ways to be a team. Learn more about all the newest Teams features at Microsoft.com/Teams. Saved by the Bell on Peacock. Bayside's back, baby. And it's streaming on Peacock right now. And some familiar faces. Mario Lopez is back. Elizabeth Berkley. Excellent episode I streamed last night is when Mario Lopez's A.C. Slater told one of the kids, I went to school with Screech. You remind me of Screech, but you're not there yet. And all holy hell broke loose. I mean...
is it the girl football player you told that to?
I mean, holy hell, Brooklyn.
Oh, yeah, in the commercial.
I went to school with Screech. I was around Screech. You remind me of Screech. You got a lot of Screech in you, but you're not there yet. Told him he needed his own video. I don't know what that meant.
Rich, who is the...
Just stay away from it.
Stay away from DK Metcalf. I'm telling you, the Jets' Adam Gase should tell Greg 3G Williams right now, you don't go to the field in 2 weeks when the Jets play the Seahawks. 844-204-RICH, number to dial. I'm back here on the Rich Eisen Show. Joining us, our friend from Good Morning Football, his latest episode of 10 Questions with Kyle Brandt, the podcast from The Ringer and Spotify. The great Jamel Hill is his current guest. Kyle Brandt back here on the show. How are you, Kyle?
All my rowdy friends are coming over on Wednesday afternoon, Rich.
That's right.
What a day.
Yes, I know. We started the show, Kyle, by saying that, you know, there's a date and a day and time that's the exact polar opposite of Sunday night. The hump of hump day would have to be it. You know, Wednesday, 3:30 p.m. Eastern has got to be it, Kyle, right?
Yeah, in a lot of ways, it's the nadir of the week for me. This is Wednesday, 3:30 Eastern. I'm doing school pickup. I'm at the dry cleaners. I'm at the grocery store. Yep. It is the most sober, sort of pedestrian moment of the week. There's no sizzle. There's no rock and roll. But sure enough, we're going to have that NBC Peacock logo, and we're going to have NFL football. It's so weird. And yet, everyone's kind of having this take, Rich, I've seen a lot, that, hey, NFL football every day. I kind of like it. I'm kind of here for it. I'm here for it hesitantly, because I thought that I was going to be here for a crazy Disney movie quarterback experience with the Denver Broncos this past week. I said, oh, yep, my God, this is going to be great. They're starting this guy. It was a lot better in theory than practice. I tuned in for 10 minutes of that game and was bored to tears at watching this poor Kendall Hinton throw it all over the field. So I hope that Wednesday is as good as it has been in my dreams.
Yeah, we needed a rewrite, or it was it went the way that I, you know, I hope Rudy goes every time I rewatch the movie. You know, you know,
this is what Rudy is offsides.
Yeah, Rudy's offsides.
You said Papa Quad.
Quad is the way I usually do it. You know, that's usually the way I roll. But it's just me being a bitter Michigan man. You know,
how dare you?
I know it's fine. We were talking, Kyle, and by the way, first things first. I know you're a Princeton guy. I say Nader. You say Nadir. Is that an Ivy League way of saying it, or how do,
Nader to me is that's Ralph. Ralph Nader.
That's Ralph.
The politically, I thought it was Nadir. N A D I R. It's Nadir, right? The low point's like the opposite of zenith.
I don't know. It does make you sound smarter, I think. You know, isn't that what they say? That
we're up here in the Nader of the week now on Wednesday afternoon.
Are you ready for some Nader? You know, I mean, that's...
I believe both are correct.
Okay, very good. Thank you, Chris. Appreciate you chiming in.
It's a noun.
Okay, very good. Because we had Mina Kimes on yesterday, and I said
very
that
smart.
if I was ever a millionaire, Jeremy Schapp would be my phone-a-friend. And then we had Jeremy on, and he did all the parlor tricks, him knowing he knows every vice president, he knows every letter associated with the Federal Reserve that used to be the letter of the Federal Reserve on every banknote. Who would be your phone a friend if you had to call somebody up that we would know? Who's your phone a friend, Kyle?
You want someone who knows the things you don't know.
Yes, that's correct.
You try to think of a friend. Oh, we like the same movies. No, you don't want that.
No.
My mind immediately goes to Nate Burleson. Because he keeps me checked and balanced on the air. He's a very, very, very knowledgeable guy about a lot of things that I don't know about.
Okay.
Some of them geographic, some of them racially based, but that's part of the crux of our show. I would call Nate. Plus, as soon as Jimmy Kimmel called Nate, he would just give me the money because everybody likes Nate so much. They would just fall in love with him and it'd be over. You need to answer the question.
I told Mina part of the reason why I had her on is I was hoping that every time anybody calls her, they receive $1 million. That didn't happen, unfortunately. So it was just a one-off, I guess.
You got to know something about Chester A. Arthur or whatever that was. That was an incredible moment. I watched the whole thing. I loved it.
Kyle Brandt here on the Rich Eisen Show. Okay, so once Week 12 does finish, and then we go to Week 13. I know you're still high on the Steelers.
Yep.
NFC, go for it. Anybody could beat anybody there. So who do you got over the last 5 weeks, 4 games? Who do you got?
It's so weird. We talked a week ago, Rich, and I think we were in agreement on it, that I was really crushing on the Los Angeles Rams. And they go and lose, and not of the kind of loss that I want to see at this point. So it's really becoming a matter of faith. Like, who do you want to trust? Especially when you're going on the air saying, I love this team. They're going to do it all. You look really bad right now. I was doing backflips over the Raiders last week, too, and they were humbled in the AFC. So I don't think the Green Bay Packers are winning a Super Bowl. I don't. I think they're going to be too flawed. I think in this current NFC, am I really going to say, damn, you know, I'm going to go with a team that fails in the playoffs every year and whose quarterback currently right now has about 15 broken ribs? Is that really my best shot, the Saints? And yet I don't see a stronger front runner or dark horse that has a better package with them, considering Breeze hopefully will be back in a few weeks. So it's almost like it feels kind of chalk, Rich. I feel like I'm picking Kentucky into my Final Four and Michigan State and Syracuse, but I don't love anybody else. And I thought it was the Rams, but they got shortcomings too.
So ask him the football-related poll question, Chris.
What do you got?
Chris, we discussed before the show. Go for it,
yeah,
Chris.
It's up at Rich Eisen Show. Which current NFC wildcard team, Kyle, that's Rams, Bucks, Cardinals, do you have the least concerns about?
Rams, Bucks, Cardinals, least concerns. I think I would have to go back to the Rams. The Bucks, just, it's time. If you're going to put this thing together, it's the clutchest bye week I can remember in years. I mean, this is a very clutch bye week to sit around, figure it out, go to Uncle Brucey's, have some martinis, do whatever you got to do to get right. This team for weeks has just felt like a greatest hits album to me. Like, it's an assembly of parts that don't really have the proper connected tissue, and it's fun, and there's starstruck, and there's people, but it feels a little like a greatest hits album, which I don't really celebrate. And then the Cardinals, fun team, exciting team. They feel a little bit like last year's Bills to me. This last year's Bills team that was good and exciting, and they had the young, cool phenom quarterback, and then just got into the playoffs somehow and just lost their heads totally. So I still think it's the Rams. They have two absolute superstars on defense and a guy who I still trust in McVay on offense. And it's not sexy. It's the Robert Woods and Cooper Kupp running around are not necessarily DK Metcalf and blowing you away. But if I'm going to have the most faith in them, it's the team in LA.
All right. And then ask him the pop culture one that we came up with, Chris. Go for it.
What do you got?
Well, we've been workshopping this a little bit. It's the anniversary of the Naked Gun release today.
Oh, I love the Naked Gun.
So we were thinking, like, is Naked Gun a sports movie, or if it was game 7 and your favorite team is playing, which umpire would you want behind the plate? Frank Drebin, Angel Hernandez, Joe West.
Who was, by the way, in that scene.
Yep.
Joe West was in that scene.
Or
in Naked
a
Gun.
Robot or a blind dog. You know what I mean? Like,
yeah, sure. Can I back you up first?
Let's
set the stage. Is the national anthem being sung by Enrico Palazzo?
Yes.
Yes.
Okay. All right. Enrico Palazzo, who was also on Michael J. Fox's basketball team in Teen Wolf. So, yes, I'm going to go. Of course I'm going with Drebin. I'm absolutely going with Frank Drebin. Listen, baseball a little bit tedious. Need a little excitement. You need the demonstrative strike calls. You need someone who's going to try to see things differently. And also, we'll put on a little bit of a show.
Yes.
And remember, there was that phenom where they had the guy racing the people around the warning track, the racer guy, and he would run them down. Drebin could do all of that, too. I'm into it. Yes, Frank Drebin, even if there is royalty in the ballpark.
And frisk the players as they come to the plate or try to grab the pop-up.
Yeah, and by the way, Rich, he runs a tight ship. He will use a dustbuster and a vacuum on home plate to keep it clean. You got to keep it nice and tidy in the batter's box. Yep. With all the hysterics about his strike calls and his inaccuracies, he does run a pretty – and he ejects people. He ejects the umpire.
He does.
He's not afraid to give someone the heave-ho. So I go Drebin for sure behind the plate.
He could put Crescioni in a rundown. He could do all of that.
Oh, yeah. And Dr. Joy's brother.
By the way,
I need the same crew as well.
By the way, let's just go down this wormhole here because it's so great.
Okay,
is that when Irv, Mooch, Kurt, and I did the London game for the first time, a 4-man booth? The number of times I got on Twitter that it reminded them of the Naked Gun booth with Dick Vitale and Dick Enberg and Tim McCarver and Dr. Joy's brothers at the very end with Kurt Gowdy. That was. That's just one of the best booths, especially when Mel Allen goes, "How about that?" after one of those crazy moments. on the field. And then that's the other part about it, too, is
the player's head comes off when he gets to drive to
catch. Exactly.
That's about that.
That is
Denberg's just frozen.
That's my favorite part of the montage, is, you know, of the send up, because that's the best part about the Naked Gun, is that is the last scene, is the send up of baseball, from the spitting to, at the time, whenever there was a lot of doctoring of the balls. I think the Negro brothers were the culprits at the time when this movie came out. Is also the montage of all the wacky moments that that we used to have on the Diamond Vision, to use the phrase at the time, screen to keep us entertained in between timeouts. Yes, a car hit the player as he was sliding into second base, being mauled by a tiger. Right. How about that? Oh, my gosh. Just all-time
great. And I think in the meantime, while that's going on, you also are – they're sending up the concessions, in which the Queen of England has to pass beers and hot dogs
to Ricardo Montalban,
one of which has a finger in it.
That Ricardo Montalban ate a finger instead of a hot dog. Fantastic. And so I showed that to my kids the other day. My 12 and 9-year-old saw it.
Yeah. How'd it go?
And it went great. Although, you know, the scene where Frank Drebin said everywhere he looks, it reminds him of his ex-girlfriend. And then you saw those two domes on the side of the road. We let that one go without any explanation. I had to explain to him that who Reggie Jackson was. And I said that would be the equivalent of, say, Mike Trout, you know, like if it was today, if Mike Trout was attempting to. But I also had to explain to him that the Queen is the same.
Same queen. Exactly the same queen. I wonder, Rich, did you have to explain to them about Nordberg? Let's not bury the lead here.
It was a question that Susie did ask me. What do we do? No, we let that one slide too, Kyle.
Oh, heroin, Frank. I love you too, Nordberg. We're going, when we get better, we'll go sailing together.
We did explain to them that OJ was, you know, a famous football player. Yes,
yeah.
We did kind of. But, and then we just left it there. You know, it's kind of like those awkward moments you see on news shows these days where, you know, all the pundits are arguing and then the anchor goes, well, we'll just leave it right there. We've got to leave it there.
Yeah. Listen, Rich, I feel like you maybe are underestimating the parental job you did going through that. You have to go through that movie with a machete. There is a full-body prophylactic scene. There's a scene
where
Frank Drebin is on the ledge, and he's running into a statue who has all kinds of body parts and all kinds of things. It gets dicey.
Yep. Yes, and then there was a stuffed beaver as well. But
thank you. I just had it stuffed. Let me take care of that for you. I love that movie.
Naked Gun. How many years ago is?
You know, two sequels.
That's right.
And the equivalent that they attempted in the final act of Naked Gun 33 and a third, instead of doing the baseball game, they did the Oscars. And
that's right.
Leslie Nielsen was up there with Raquel Welch, and they thought he was Phil Donahue. They do a whole Oscars send-up. So they kept going with that. I love those movies so much, and I miss Leslie Nielsen.
I agree with you. Kyle Brandt here on the Rich Eisen Show. Okay, so Jamel.
1988, guys.
1988. Okay, so Jamel Hill is your guest this week. Do you get into real world political stuff, or do you stick to sports? What do you do here with Jamel, who's phenomenal?
Yeah, it's funny you mention that, Rich, because Jamel's project is Carrie and Jamel will not stick to sports. You can't have her on and just say, hey, how great is Michigan State? You can't.
Well, you can't say that these days anyway, Kyle.
We did get to Michigan State, which I have something for you in a second. But listen, it's funny. I've done 15 episodes of these now, and the second you tweet out Jamel Hill's on your show, your mentions get very colorful and sometimes very vulgar.
It's not right.
Jamel talks at length about anthrax scares, death threats, on and on and on, and what it's like when you get tweeted by the president. And I'm not a political opinionist. I'm not a political show, but we covered it. I thought it was fascinating. I thought it was revealing. I've known her for a long time, so I felt really comfortable doing it. One thing I would ask you, Rich, we did talk a lot of sports, and I said to Jamel, if you had to quarantine with three all-time Michigan State greats, who would you choose? And
so hold on, let me guess. Can I guess who she chose?
Yeah, of course you can. Yeah,
Magic.
Three all-time Michigan State greats.
Magic is one.
Magic is one because she said he's terrible at cards and she can beat him.
Okay. Other Michigan. Did she go Mateen Cleaves?
She went Mateen damn Cleaves. Two for two. And the third one, my friend, is a wild card.
All right. It's not Kirk Cousins.
Definitely not. You did not mention him, and I thought it was probably the right choice.
All right. Can you give me a hint? Which sport is it?
Or just... him. This is a non-athlete. This is a Hollywood, I'm going to use the word legend, Hollywood legend, older gentleman. I would guess at this point he's probably in his late 70s.
So go for it, Chris. Go for it.
James Caan.
James Caan, Michigan State man. Didn't even know that, but she said he'd be in there.
We had him on our podcast one time. How phenomenal was that conversation? By the way, our podcast, we had back in our podcast days, we had James Caan, we had Bruce Dern. And the question is which one is absolutely nuttier?
Yeah.
You know, but James, come on, James Caan. It doesn't get much better
Rich,
than that.
If you were in a maize and blue quarantine, who are you hanging with?
Okay. Who would I have? Amazing Blue Quarantine. Oh,
what do you think?
Man. TB12. Desmond Howard, who's one of my favorite people on the planet.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, now people are going to get pissed at me. Would I go? It's either Charles or C-Webb. Which one do I do?
Yeah, I wish Bo was still around. I know you were a huge Shen Beckler.
Rich, you could go Sanjay Gupta.
Who would I go?
Sanjay Gupta.
I could do, just to make sure that we're all socially distant.
Yeah, and, you know.
We could do that. I didn't know if you would choose, dead or alive. Because if you choose, I'll just go off the board. James Earl Jones. We'll take James Earl Jones.
Oh, that's a Wolverine right there?
Oh,
I didn't know that.
Yeah, it's a Wolverine.
No, Madonna?
No kidding.
Okay, it doesn't matter how many videos Michigan asks me to participate in. I know I'm not voicing it over. That is for sure.
Yeah, he's the voice of Darth Vader.
My
with
gosh.
All the respect. That's tough to beat.
The University of Michigan. We are your fathers. You know, that would be one day. We could use that.
I don't know. The Field of Dreams, peace, love, dope. He's got that great voice.
of all the lines. Oh, Kyle, another great conversation. Always appreciate it. We'll see you on Good Morning Football tomorrow at 7 a.m. Eastern time and catch the latest episode of 10 Questions with Kyle Brandt. With Jamel Hill. Thanks for the time, brother. You take care.
Every time I love it, man. Thanks, Rich.
Right back at you. At Kyle Brandt on Twitter and Instagram. Right here on the Rich Eisen Show. Who would be your three Syracuse?
Great question, Rich.
Because there's in terms of broadcasters.
Legendary.
And there's also athletes.
I think I would take Bob Costas.
Okay.
I think Bob's up there. Let's see. I mean, I could take Jim Brown.
Okay.
Still with us.
Okay.
And, oh, my goodness. I got to think on the third one.
I'll give you the third one.
I got to think on the third
because
one.
Because he has 20 more years of eligibility left. Ronnie Cicely. You should take him. Ronnie Cicely, who spent 19 years at Syracuse. Really bizarre how he got a 19th year of eligibility. Ronnie Cicely.
Mike Tirico.
Oh, wait a minute. You would not take Melo? Come on.
I wasn't there for Melo. I would take Melo, obviously. I mean, I think I would more.
I know you weren't there for Melo. I wasn't there for.
I know, I get it, but I would more choose.
Fab Five.
I would more choose, like.
I wasn't there for Brady either.
I think maybe Tirico.
Hold on a second. Real quick here.
I do love
Melo. In terms of Syracuse Orange Men and now Orange, who have made you. As delighted as a human being on planet Earth, where does Carmelo Anthony rank?
Very high.
Yeah, I mean,
very, very high.
How is he not like top two or top three for you?
I just didn't think of him off the top of my head.
Derek Coleman?
DC, Aaron Sorkin?
Is he really Syracuse?
Aaron Sorkin.
I did not know that. You know who's Michigan is Mike Wallace. I would have had him. Although, after a while in quarantine, he'd probably be, a little bit unbearable, don't you think? Like, Mike, I get it. Don't tell me what to do.
And our buddy, the great Tom Everett Scott.
Syracuse. Hey, a delightful human, young squire. Let's take a break. Take your phone calls. Get set up for another delightful human. I am so psyched to talk to Brian Cranston. It has been way too long. And apparently we have some free alcohol because of him.
Hey.
Now there are more ways to be a team with Microsoft Teams. Bring everyone together in one space with a new virtual room. Collaborate live. Drawing, sharing, and building ideas with everyone on the same page. And make sure more of your team is seen and heard with up to 49 people on screen at once. Learn more about all the newest Teams features at Microsoft.com/Teams.
Honestly, I'm going to miss this promo. Kickoff is in 2 hours, less than 2 hours. The commissioner just held a press conference or a conference call. So maybe we can get a soundbite from that or get that ready, because we'll have a news update in hour three after Bryan Cranston joins us.
I'll have some quotes.
Okay, very good. Yeah. Here's the alcohol that Bryan Cranston is. He and Aaron Paul have put together a little new business.
Yeah, old tequila.
Okay. Well, and it's. I'm not a drinker. I red wine I know very well. Mezcal, is that what we call it? Mezcal.
Yeah.
Okay. Dos Hombres Mezcal.
Oh, here we go. Here's the difference.
Look at Cranston and Aaron Paul.
All right,
on the beach taking these photographs together.
All right. I have the difference between tequila and mezcal.
Okay. There you go. So Brian's going to join us. He's got a new show called Your Honor on Showtime. Back here on the Rich Eisen Show, we're talking about Bryan Cranston is going to be joining us in about 13 minutes' time.
Tequila, according to the internet here, typically produced by steaming the agave inside industrial ovens before being distilled. Mezcal, on the other hand, cooked inside earthen pits that are lined with lava rocks and filled with wooden charcoal before being distilled. So a little difference in how they're made.
You know how he always used to do the Jim Brockmeyer voice?
Yes.
As food in a lineup makes it sound like.
When
so lead off hitter would be agave.
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 Carne asada.
Carne asada batting second. Flauta batting third. Flauta.
The Florio burrito.
Okay, so news are popping. If you recall, it was about 3 summers ago, right in the middle of an August day. I'm barbecuing in the backyard. I'm grilling. And my son was, I guess, just 10 at the time.
Which one?
I guess. Zan.
Zan.
And he's, you know, comes out there and he goes, "Hey, Dad, can we go see LeBron?" I'm like, "Now?" I don't have his number. I mean, I don't really know how we can go see him. What are you talking about? He goes, "This great coming question. Up in fall." I'm like, "What?" Look down at the phone. There's an alert.
Yeah.
LeBron's coming to Los Angeles.
Uh-huh.
Three plus one.
He's staying in Los Angeles.
Okay. So that was the conversation is how long? How long is he going to stay? How long will he give the Lakers? Year one, dreadful. Year two, world's dreadful, but the bubble was great. Very bubblicious. Anthony Davis is going to be sticking around, we assume. And LeBron, just according to Rich Paul, telling many news outlets, 2-year contract extension worth $85 million.
Cha-ching.
Man. Damn.
Yeah.
Obviously. Paid like he's in the Premier League.
Obviously. His team got younger. He still has Anthony Davis. He's not going anywhere.
Oh, God.
Seriously, man.
And then there's an article out today in The Athletic about how dysfunctional the Clippers were last year. He's not going anywhere.
It is amazing. Right around this time last year.
I can't catch a break.
He's going to win 10 championships by the time it's all over.
Right around this time last year, I was sitting here, and I will always shoot you straight. And I will, you know, recall when I was wrong. Man, was I off sitting here. This is a Clipper town, man. Here, okay, Anthony Davis, but here, yep, the Clippers went ahead, and they got Paul George, and they got Kawhi, and they're going to work for Doc and the rest of that team, and they're ready to go. And what a total unmitigated
S show.
I mean, I was way off.
You weren't the only one.
Way off. So LeBron's sticking around.
Yep.
So that keeps him here for, is it on top of the four, or they just tear up? What do we got here? Do we know?
It's through the end of the 22-23 season.
Okay. All right. So they tacked on an extension. Okay, so there we go. So he's got 3 more years here now.
3 more years.
After this year.
So it was the 3+1. They got rid of the +1, and they added 2.
Ah. How old will Bronny be at that point in time? And
Bronny will be a senior that year.
Here we go.
So that the year after, which LeBron does not have a contract for, will be Bronny's either freshman year of college, or if they change the rule, he'll be in the NBA.
So you're tanking for both Jameses, right?
Correct.
Because that is absolutely done.
Yeah.
For sure, is that LeBron wants to be a free agent when his son, no pressure, gets into the NBA.
Yep.
You will get father-son. Mm-hmm. Unless, I have this signed for a reason. I'm being honest. You know, I mean, I can't tell.
Defended
it. I can't tell my three children, my two boys or my girl, that, hey, wherever you want to work, I got your back, because I will go work with them. Unless they're like, I want my own spot. You know, I love you, Dad, but, you know, I want to create my own spot. I have no idea. But just in case Bronny's all cool with Dad showing up in his spot and they play together, because that's something that they've been talking about literally since his son could talk, he's contractually free to do it, right?
So what? Orlando, Phoenix, Chicago, the teams that are always at the bottom.
Here's one thing I could tell you on that, sir.
Not going to happen.
LeBron and Bronny may have been talking since the minute Bronny could crawl about playing together. That's the one guy that will absolutely never get any James.
The Knickerbockers?
Yeah, I would think that for sure.
Well, we also have to assume Bronny's going to be good enough to get drafted that early.
I would assume so. Did you see the Instagram workout pictures that were released over the Thanksgiving break? Bronny is huge.
By the way, you know whose son never gets talked about and looks like a beast on Instagram?
Mine?
Yours too. Okay. Shaq's son, Sharif O'Neal, who's at LSU. You been watching after he had open heart surgery?
Yeah. Yeah, right.
That kid mind you, it's just workout videos, but right. Wow. No one ever talks about him.
844-204-RICH. Let's go to Jeff in Detroit. Jeff, you there?
Yeah. All right. Am I on?
Yeah, you are. I've got about 2 minutes for you. What's going on?
Jeff.
Hey, what's going on, Unc? What's happening, cousin?
What's up,
Jeff?
Listen, good to see you, man.
I was just thinking about something. Has there been in recent history a more underrated as well as non-talked about coach is Mike Tomlin? 143 wins, 74 losses. Now, get this, Rich.
That's incredible.
His 74 losses compared to Matt Patricia, let me be Petty Murphy for a second, is a difference of 45 losses in 11 seasons difference. Unbelievable. Unbelievable. He's a leader of men.
He's
the guy that you want to play for in the locker room, and you never really hear about him being talked about as one of the greats.
I've talked about him as one of the greats, and
oh, I know you do. But no, I know that on a national level.
Look,
I know you get it.
Jeff, I get it. I mean, and he's amazing. He's truly remarkable. Last year was an 8-8 season that very few could have pulled off, and now what you're seeing, I think they're going to go 16-0 unless there's something crazy. That I said it. I believe it. And thank you for the call, Jeff.
This year is truly remarkable. I love when you grab your crystal ball, man, because you do come up with some good ones.
Appreciate that. Thanks, Jeff. That's Jeff in Detroit.
There, Jeff.
Tony Dungy was on last hour. I asked him last time that somebody called him to ask him if he wanted a coach. He said 3 years ago, although he said this year he's been getting a lot of calls from people hasn't spoken to in a while, kind of just asking about their teams.
Kicking the tires a little bit.
And he says he tells them, this is what Dan Rooney did. Get yourself a defensive-minded coach who can really communicate. That was Cowher, and then now Tomlin, after Noel. Go for it. And stick with the program. And that's the whole point with, you know, Jim Caldwell was not doing this against over 500 teams and that and this and the other thing. It was 4 years. What if he was building something there? I mean, you had the quarterback to do it. I mean, I think they're going to get Robert Saleh, who, by the way, defensive-minded coach who can communicate. That's your guy.
There you go.
That's your guy. Stick with him. Give him more than 4 years when you hire somebody. 844-204-RICH, number to dial. Your honor is coming to Showtime. And that's the guy who plays his honor. Bryan Cranston, one of the all-time greats. Love this guy. Can't wait to have a conversation with him. Top of hour three. Back here on our Peacock feed.
Rich, you know Jason, the caller, he called earlier and talked about coaches you'd love to play for?
Yes.
No one mentioned Andy Reid on that. That's a guy that
No, there's no question.
Yeah,
or Sean Payton.
But Andy Reid just seems like fun. Like, you know, he's going to teach you, he'll be stern with you, but you also have some fun with him.
And go out to eat after.
Yeah, exactly. All the good steak and barbecue houses.
Wherever you want.
Yeah.
When's the last time Andy Reid could not get pre-pandemic, get a reservation somewhere? Right?
Well, they had to make sure they got enough meat on hand.
Well, he definitely can. You can, by the way, let Stone Street cook. He'll take care of everybody.
Yeah. Mitchell Schwartz,
too. Oh, my gosh. How Brisket funny Masters. Was that, by the way, at our Big Slick show?
2 years ago.
Big Slick show with Stone Street sitting next to Mitchell Schwartz. And I said, Mitchell Schwartz, member of the tribe. And Stone Street goes, Chiefs. And I'm like, no.
Different tribe.
That was one of my favorite moments. Mitchell Schwartz, member of the tribe. And Stone Street's like, yeah, Chiefs. No, Eric. No.
And Eric texts him about meat, not about football. Right.
By the way, that was the best backdrop we ever had.
I know. Jeez. You were all over the place shooting so many great photographs there in Kauffman Stadium. Bryan Cranston of Your Honor on Showtime when we come back.
Now there are more ways to be a team with Microsoft Teams. Bring everyone together in a new virtual room, collaborate live, building ideas on the same page, and see more of your team on screen at once. Learn more at Microsoft.com/Teams.